Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Welcome, Fresh Explorers. You've just tuned into the Global Fresh Series, where every bite tells a story, every field hides a secret, and every market bursts with the colors of possibility. From orchards in Spain to greenhouses in Canada, from packing houses in California to bustling produce stalls across the globe, we bring you the voices, innovations, and adventures shaping the future of fresh. So grab your passport and your appetite for discovery, because here freshness has no borders. Let's get fresh, let's get global, and let's dive right into the thick of it. How is your week going so far, Fresh Explorers? As for me, I'm getting ready to head to Madrid this weekend for Fruit Attraction. And no, that's not a movie, but one of the largest trade shows coming to you from Madrid, Spain. And between lining up booth interviews for IFPA in mid-October and getting ready to fly to Madrid, the days are truly flying by. But before we dive into all the trade show season and revealing about today's show, I've got a story that stopped me in my tracks this week. And it has to do with something you probably don't associate with excitement or glamour, the humble potato. We've all seen avocados crowned as sexy and tropical fruits basking in their glory. But potatoes? Even though potatoes, I think, are number one, two, or three in terms of the most consumed fresh produce items in the produce side of the supermarket, they don't exactly scream stardom or get their walk of fame. Not until a French artist turned them into the heart of a global art movement worthy of an Academy Award. And this story truly grabbed my ear. It's a true story. It begins with a woman named Agnès Varda. She is a well-known French filmmaker and photographer who didn't find her artistic breakthrough until she was 70. She made a film about gleaning, the French tradition of salvaging what others throw away. And in one of the unforgettable scenes of this movie, she watched a farmer tossed out to just reach into the field, picking up potatoes. He just keep tossing them potato after potato because they were all misshapen. Among them, she spotted one shaped like a heart, and she cried out, "Donnez-moi le cœur," give me the heart. The single potato sparked what became known as the heart-shaped potato movement, a celebration of imperfection, beauty, and humanity. Years later, at the world-famous Venice Biennale, one of the most important contemporary art shows in the world, Varda unveiled her exhibition called Patatopia, literally translated to Potato Utopia. So this is what it looked like. Imagine 1,500 pounds of potatoes. They're wrinkled, dirty, lumpy, their roots showing, but they're all spread out, 1,500 pounds of potatoes. They were projected. There were three screens that were projecting these potatoes, while Varda herself, she was dressed in a potato costume. It's really something to see. She had only her head sticking out and her arms, and inside the costume was a hidden mic. And within the costume, she was speaking, and what she was doing as people were walking by is she's naming all the potato varieties into her microphone. So people see this woman dressed in this potato outfit sitting among all this heap of 1,500 pounds of potatoes. And it really, really was just wild. It was something people were not used to seeing, a fresh produce. So something as ordinary as a potato can carry such extraordinary meaning. And it makes me wonder, when we look at our own produce industry, do we sometimes overlook the beauty in what doesn't meet perfection, but could taste perfectly delicious? So this week, I'll leave you with Varda's words. Utopia is the belief that by filming an old, rotten potato, you can express the beauty of the world. Now, before I give away the wonderfully French ending to the story, let's take a quick moment to recognize the incredible sponsors who make this podcast possible. And speaking of potatoes, what better moment to highlight one of our fabulous sponsors, a leading potato supplier whose contributions go far beyond the plate and the palate. From innovation in sustainability to supporting growers and feeding communities, their impact on the fresh produce industry is something worth celebrating, just like Varga's Patatopia event. So here's to our partners who keep the industry and this podcast thriving. Potatoes are the signature dish of our first sponsors. With crisp mornings and rich harvests, September, which is almost over, marks the peak season for Manitoba vegetables. From hearty potatoes and carrots to fresh cabbage and beets, nothing says local like produce picked right from peak of the market's fields to your fork. And our proudly Canadian first-class sponsor, proudly Manitoban, Peak of the Market, is committed to bringing you the highest, freshest quality produce straight from their fields. Now, turning to the other side of the hemisphere, Colombia avocados. It's Colombia's main season, and Colombia has volume and quality to support promotional programs and fill those supply gaps. Colombia avocados meet your growing category demand year-round. So think of Colombia avocados, not just an occasional time of the year, but year-round. And also, be sure to put them on your list to visit at booth 2583 during the IFPA show in just a few weeks. Now, before I tell you about today's show and hear from our featured guests, let's hear from one of our innovative sponsors, Jack Vandenberg.
120 years ago, in Groningen, the Netherlands, a small produce business began, trading fresh local fruits. By the 1930s, the Vandenberg family moved to Rotterdam, Europe's burgeoning fruit hub. But when the 1940s brought turmoil, they fled to America, rebuilding their legacy in fresh produce. In 1958, Jack Vandenberg became a trailblazer, importing fresh Chilean fruit to the US, opening doors to global flavors. Today, that spirit of growth and innovation continues with sustainable packaging, carbon footprint tracking, and the finest fruit varieties. We're redefining freshness for the future. Family, fresh, innovation, celebrating a legacy 120 years in the making. This is Jack Vandenberg.
And we're back. Now we're talking about freshness, innovation, and produce that truly makes its mark. We can't help but think of Jack Vandenberg, known for bringing premium fruits from around the world to our tables. Their story is a perfect reminder that fresh isn't just about what's in season. It's about passion, consistency, and vision. So let's just wrap up this Agnes Varda story before I get into today's show. Leading to the conclusion of the Agnes Varda potato story, to give you an idea of how intertwined the potato and Agnes Varda became, after her exhibit, with her sitting in a mound of 1,500 pounds of potatoes with her potato costume, people began sending her heart-shaped potatoes in the mail and leaving them on her windowsill. This continued for the remainder of her life. Upon her death, people placed heart-shaped potatoes on her grave, as they continue to do to this very day. And I've never heard of anything like this, an incredible story uplifting the potato. If you have a chance, Google Agnes Varda to see her in her potato suit or costume sitting in this mound of 1,500 pounds of potatoes at this very world-renowned exhibition. And another thing I was wondering about, how easy is it to find heart-shaped potatoes? I mean, I was in a potato field not too long ago, and it looks like you really have to dig down deep for these potatoes. And I don't know how often you would find heart-shaped potatoes. But anyway, I thought that was a great story. Ode to the potatoes. We're going to take another shift here. We're going to gear up for today's show by shifting gears from the potato fields to the world of USA pears. After experiencing a 20% production drop from an unexpected winter frost earlier this year, the industry is facing tighter volumes and higher prices. That ripple effect has also slowed exports to the two largest markets for U.S. pears, Mexico and Canada. But it's not all tough news. Even with smaller supplies, pears are finding their momentum thanks to health and wellness trends. They're packed with fiber, vitamins, and naturally low in calories. And they're becoming a favorite of choice for consumers who want nutrition without compromise. So today we're joined by one of the top experts on USA pears. We'll dig into the big questions with her. What's the outlook for this pear season? What consumer promotions are driving growth? Where are the biggest opportunities for exports? And just how much will premium, organic, and wellness-driven segments shape the future? So stay tuned. We're going to go to another commercial break to hear from another one of our fabulous sponsors, Zag Technical Services. And trust me, our guest has plenty of insights, a sharp perspective, and always keeps the conversation lively. So don't go away as we hear from our tech-savvy sponsor, Zag Technical Services.
Zag Technical Services, we do many things. Managed services for IT needs, including consulting. Another area of expertise for us is cybersecurity, making sure that there's awareness and risk prevention. And then the final piece is the data and software services, where whether it's software automation, data management, even AI, we have things that we can do to help your business. Those are core components that your company relies on. So we have a rich history of being able to manage these IT services so that you don't have to worry about them. You trust us so that we keep your operations going and your business going ultimately. When we talk about what AI can do for you and the time savings, even though you don't think you have something that you can just put AI in, you probably do if you have a business case that could be benefited from automation or efficiencies that are brought in. We can trust AI to do those things. And the beauty of that is you can free up time for your employees to do more meaningful work. So even if you think you may not benefit, I think it's worth a conversation because you will be surprised. We'll walk you through every step of the way and we're here to help.
Thank you, Zag Technical Services, and in showing us the importance of cybersecurity and preventing ransomware. We've just had a great example this week with the airlines. Some of the major airlines in Europe have been down because their IT systems were compromised, and people don't, you know, how do you check in anymore manually? Everyone just does it on their phone before they get to the airport. So everyone's affected, from airlines to fresh produce to banks, hospitals. Don't let yourself be caught without your guard up. So let's get to introducing today's guests. It's my pleasure to welcome Carrion Arias, President and CEO of USA Pears. Carrion, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. You've had such an incredible career, over 25 years shaping brands, launching award-winning products, and even partnering with giants like Disney, Netflix, and Chobani. And now, as president and CEO of USA Pears, you are bringing that same vision and energy to the produce world, which is what I want to hear about. On top of that, you're a true advocate for agriculture. You serve on boards that support growers, shippers, and food safety. You've got it all wrapped up into a ball of wax. So welcome, a big welcome. We're glad you're
Thank
here
you.
Today to tell
Thank
us
you
about
so much.
Pears.
I appreciate that. I'm very excited to be here. I've definitely been blessed with a pretty amazing career. And
how long have you been in the industry?
So 25 years in produce. We tried some things before produce and found my home in the produce industry. Worked for a fairly small produce broker, which not many of those left. They had a food service division. Food service is a great way to learn the produce industry because you have to know it all. So it was definitely a dive into the deep end and right. to learn produce and commodities in a pretty unique way. And then almost 13 years at Dole and 6 years at Nature Ripe before coming over to pears. So this is my first time with pears. Had a little bit of tree fruit from other things, but first time with pears. And when you were doing the intro, you were talking about the 24-25 crop, which is my first year. So I'm in like month 14 right now. What a tough year to start with just.
You did. You had a lot of frost problems in early January, which really pulled back on that production.
Yeah. 24-25 was very interesting. The trees cycle, which I've been learning a lot about how it all works and getting to see the crop being harvested this year versus my first harvest last year when I'd been on the job for, 3 weeks. And they were showing me this fruit. And as a lifetime pear consumer, because I grew up with it, I didn't see the things that I was seeing on these trees. I mean, they weren't pretty. And we're going to talk about that because pears tend to not be the perfect fruit that you see in a photograph or even in paintings, right? They've seen pears in artwork since like the 1200s, but
isn't that the truth? That's always it's the shape of the pear,
yeah,
the colors of the pear, yes.
But pears kind of look like they've been in a bar fight on a regular basis in the grocery store. So this was something that for me, they told me like it's going to be a rough year, but to see and come in my first year be the rough year. This year looks so different. So I'm very excited.
Aren't you pleased about that?
To sell.
Yes. I mean, you know, it just takes the way it can vacillate back and forth within the produce industry with all these commodities. And I'm so excited because I do know pears have had a rough go of it over the past few years.
Definitely have.
And I did, you might have, you were at the World Apple and Pear Forum in Europe a few weeks ago that they'd had.
I was not because I did Hong Kong and, oh wait, I did
That's
go.
What
this
I thought.
Is a problem. I'm on the road so much. I don't even know where I am anymore. You would ask me like where I work. Do I work from home? And I work wherever United flies me. I was at the World Apple and Pear. Oh, sorry guys. It was my first time too. I learned a lot because it was, I was the newbie in the room. Most of the people that I'm surrounded by are, you know, decade veterans and a lot of them growers, and it was amazing to see how other countries look at our fruit because it's so different, and they have a very different view of what the fruit looks like, and they grow very different varieties that don't
That's
look
true.
Like ours. Theirs mm-hmm. naturally are a little bit they're not perfect. They don't try and even make them perfect, like partially russeted. So a bosque is that outside, it's called russet. It's like a potato, but not. They have a lot of fruit that partially russets. And if people see it here, they're like, what is that? Is something wrong? And it's just,
we are so visual,
but that fruit is very different. Their varieties are pretty unique to them.
That's
like
why I brought
ours
it up.
Are unique to us, but I think ours are amazing. Well, ours are amazing. Yeah. I love our varieties.
But I also brought that up because I did read the recap of that 2-day seminar, and it sounds like pears are also down in Europe.
Yes. So definitely seeing that. And there's some factors, right? More countries are growing pears. So you're certainly seeing some of that. But I think there's a headwind because pears has not really leaned into globally. Some of the things that they could be talking about, nutrition, being on trend, understanding what's happening and compare a pear consumer's life, because pears are really poised to be like the it fruit. And in my opinion, of course they are. A great example would be if you watch TikTok right now, The hashtag fibermaxing is unbelievable.
Here we go. I'm putting it up on the screen. Follow
right? us. Yeah, TikTok. Follow us on TikTok. So fibermaxing has become such a huge hashtag in the trends of influencers. And pears have a lot of fiber. So
they sure do. I brought that up.
Yeah, I think that we just really haven't spent a lot of time understanding the current consumer and leaning into current consumers' needs. So we're going to make pears super cool again.
Yeah. I really want to get into the consumer education because I find I'm not as familiar with pears as I am with other commodities. But one thing I do know, I really do enjoy them because you can have a pear, like a boss pear to me is almost like an apple or a Asian pear, but it still tastes good. It's still sweet. But there's another pear. I don't even know the name. It's terrible. It's more of a green.
And okay. We have a couple of those.
It's actually buttery. It's a very buttery, you know, when I slice it, I love eating it with cheese. In a soft
probably,
cheese.
Do you get it in the springtime? Is it more of springtime?
Yeah, I've been receiving it in my organic shipment box.
So probably a green Anjou pear is what I'm guessing.
Yes. And that's why I don't know what it is because I'm not picking it up in the supermarket. It's just in my box. Yeah.
So there's no stickers.
And I'm slicing it. I like to slice it in little pieces. I'm thinking, oh my God, this is dessert. It's buttery. It melts in my mouth and it has a nice sweet taste. I think it's delicious.
Well, my Anjou growers are going to love hearing you say that. So that's a pear that you would typically see for us in the grocery stores later in our harvest season. We're just harvesting those now. This is this time of year when fall first hits and the beginning of our harvest, you're seeing a lot of other varieties like the Bartlett, which is the one pear that people can kind of tell when it's ripened because it goes from green to yellow. But there are other pears that are really popular right now, like Stark Crimson, which is a red pear. It's really beautiful, bright red color.
I've seen that, yes.
Yeah, and those are the pear that you can pretty much eat it the second you bring it home because they ripen really quickly. Don't leave those on your counter for very long. They'll get really soft. Comice is a pear variety. Last year they were huge, like the size of your head. They were so giant. This year, still good in size, but they are the pair that if you ever received a gold foiled pair from Harry and David, they call it the Royal Sierra, but it is a Comice pair and also a shorter season. They tend to only see it in leading up into the holidays, but another delicious pair that I don't think they all get all the credit that they deserve because
they have their own, each has its own personality.
They do. And they can all be eaten in different ways. I think that's another thing that's kind of exciting that pears don't have to just be eaten like soft. I was told by one of the growers, they call it a gusher, which means you have to eat it over the sink because it's so messy. And those are great, but not everybody likes it that way or wants that experience. And for you on a charcuterie board with cheese, you need them to be a bit more firm to hold up to that cheese eating experience. So pears can be eaten however you want to eat them. And that is definitely one of the messages that you'll be seeing from us in the future is this idea of there's no wrong way to eat a pear. It's what you're going to use it for and what's right for you. So you go down to South, you go to Mexico and they eat pears much more firm than we do. And they have tahini on them and maybe a little chamoy and they're eating them much more crunchy.
Oh, that sounds good.
Oh, they're delicious. It's crazy. I like experimenting with pears anyway, but it's something that I had never expected that kind of eating combination. I mean, you see it with melons and cucumbers.
So they're putting tajine on their pears?
Yeah. Tahini and chamoy are really popular flavor combinations to go with sweet things anyway. And there's a big trade show in Mexico called ANTAD and we served it there and it was unbelievable. People were eating it left and right. And so now I have it in my pantry here at the house and I eat them that way too. But I actually like the crunch. I do like a Bosque pear. I cook with a Bosque a lot. That's something that I make a stuffing with a Bosque pear that I've been making for several decades for Thanksgiving. And they need to be firm. If they get soft, then the stuffing gets mushy. So it's a part of our job at USA Paris is really to help consumers have a good experience with choosing the right pear for things that they may want to do and understanding they have a pear. It's in this condition. Like what do I do with it now? Like, do I put it into a smoothie or is it something that I can bake with? Or is it, I need to come up with something else because maybe it's now too sweet, too soft for baking. And so we're focusing when we launch our new website in October to make sure that we're doing a good job of educating consumers on, while there is no right way, here's some secrets for success in
yes. In how are you going to launch this whole new consumer? I mean, are you trying to clue into the consumer in terms of the different varieties and eating experience and then recipes? Or will there be displays at retail level or commercials or?
Okay, all the things. You just said all the things. You got them. So first and foremost, we're relaunching the brand October 15th at IFPA.
Right, this is going to be exciting.
New booth, new logo, new website. And we're starting with the consumer facing part of our website first and foremost, and really starting to curate recipes to make sure that we're hitting on all of consumers' life stages today. Mm-hmm. We have a much more worldly palate in the United States than we had in prior decades. And kids are eating like sushi at five.
Isn't that the truth? Yes.
Just crazy. And like, they know what kimchi is, right? It's something that
they're exposed.
Not my generation. Yeah. Like we discovered it maybe in our 20s or 30s, but not when we were five. So recognizing that the consumer palate is much more worldly in the United States, and we're making sure that we're starting to address that in a way that is meaningful online and also still, you know, very sensitive to culturally, you know, making sure that we're delivering the right recipes in the right ways in certain times. And but also, I think it's really exciting to see some of the things that consumers are doing with fruits and vegetables today. You get a lot of inspiration from influencers and writers.
Well, definitely, along like on with TikTok and the way their people are showing how to eat different types of foods, and definitely fruits and vegetables are in there
for sure. And if cottage cheese can make a comeback, so can we.
Yeah,
like cottage cheese is in everything, so I want pears in everything. That's my ultimate goal.
Last year, I mentioned something on a podcast about a young kid in Canada who came up with some recipe. I believe it was cucumbers. And, you know, again, cucumber is one of these innocuous type vegetables. They taste good, but you pretty much have to mix it in with gazpacho or other things. Anyway, his recipe was so popular that they actually sold out. They couldn't even keep cucumbers in stock there. And then someone else in a Scandinavian country showed the TikTok video that went viral there. And they even had the same problem. So that it's amazing how today, interest of how vital influencers are in showing your product.
Absolutely.
Are you using influencers?
We are. We certainly have relationships with some pretty interesting influencers. That, you know, this is football season. We have an influencer that does some really amazing tailgating and barbecuing with pears and barbecue sauce. And we did some hot wings with him last year. And this year, we're actually working with Cox Media and doing some commercials, streaming NFL commercials.
Wow.
So we're testing out some television commercials in a couple of markets. It's something that we have done outside of the US, but this is our first kind of foray into it. And the NFL is 50% female fans, 50% male.
Isn't that interesting?
which I think is fantastic.
Any plans for a Super Bowl ad?
I wish we don't quite have that budget. It's not that good of a crop. But we certainly, in the streaming markets that we're playing in right now to learn about how it works for us, how consumers react to our commercials. It will be leading up into it and through the playoffs. So, and I don't know, who knows, maybe when we become the next Avocado Toast, we will have our own commercials too.
A pear toast.
There is a pear toast on our website. There is a pear toast. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you just smash it on toast, or is there anything you add to it?
Actually, it's a bit more artistic in appearance. So they're sliced kind of like your charcuterie board concept. Mm. So think about all your ingredients on a charcuterie board, but we're making it in one convenient. Yes. But fairly decent sized piece of bread. So think kind of like an open face sandwich, but there's a series of, I think, six different versions of it. Some sweet, some savory, some a bit more kid friendly. And we're always adding to the library. But as we went through the process of building this new website, we wanted to make sure that we were checking off a lot of the boxes of modern palates, newer trends and recipes. Mm-hmm. So looking at things like where pears fall in the smoothie space, and making sure that we're getting our fair share of your tummy. But also when pears, because they're so different, you're not eating them straight off of a tree like an apple, and they have that ripening process in your house. You know, sometimes you'll be like, oh, I'm going to eat that tomorrow. And then you forget. And then you come back 3 days later and you're like, ooh, now it's really soft. Exactly. What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, and we don't want people to throw it away. There's things that can be done. So
I still cut that's it up. Part of I what cut we're it doing. Up and I'll, it's great to put something like that in some cereal, even a salad.
My go-to has been a yogurt topping. So, and baking it in oatmeal is also really fantastic.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yeah, in the winter, it's really great. So that's a big piece of what you'll see. But aside from influencers, this year we just completed, like literally just got back last week from taking food writers from the U.S. and Mexico through the orchards, through some of our growing regions, meeting the growers. We had very engaged writers that had never seen a pear tree, and which was it was very exciting. And you know, a lot of our growers are third, fourth, fifth generation, and you know, 100-year-old farms. Yep. And I think they came away as enamored with our growers and the industry as I am. And it's hard to not fall in love with the area and the people and the fruit. So it was a great experience.
That's like my story about the potato, how she was out in the field and all of a sudden she saw that heart-shaped potato and just went wild over it. And then she said that the potatoes actually represent, you know, and it's so French, where the French get very deep into the genre, you know, it represents humanity, not its imperfections and everything else.
Well, pears have a place in French culture too. It's considered, it was fertility was a big piece of pears, obviously the shape, I think is where some of it came from. But it is considered to be very romantic because it was an ideal body shape for a very long time. One of the dishes that we had last week from one of our amazing chefs was a dish that was potatoes and pears. And caramelized onions, and it was baked together in such a way that it almost looked like a gratin, but there was no dairy in it. And we all walked away blown away because nobody had ever thought about pears and potatoes and onions together.
Yeah, and that has to be a real interesting taste.
It was fantastic. And so we've asked for the recipe, so he'll give it to us. And
I'd like to try that.
We'll have it as a holiday. Yeah, I'm definitely making it for Christmas Eve. That's my prime rib side dish. Already decided. That's replacing the risotto or other potato things I make. Yeah.
Well, many of us are headed out to trade shows within the next few weeks. And tell us about some of the trade shows that you have been attending and where you're going to be over the next few weeks. Definitely IFPA. People can stop by and we're going to make this big announcement. So got to head over to the USA Pear Bureau booth.
Yes, definitely. So I was just in Hong Kong a few weeks ago. You were right. It was World Apple and Pear before that. But coming up, I will also be in Spain at Fruit Attraction. We do spend a large amount of our time helping our U.S. growers find export markets and build promotions in the markets to support the relationships that they have made with retailers. So that's actually a really popular trade show and becoming more and more popular. I think the Spain weather is very attractive.
Yes.
We know we have a lot of South and Central American customers that will be coming up for it. I think it's also friendly for them because it's a Spanish-speaking country. But I think that that fall weather in Spain is a big attraction over typhoon and monsoon weather in Hong Kong and Berlin in February, which is a little chilly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then definitely I'll be at IFPA. Obviously not only big important show for us because we're launching this year, but really kind of a pinnacle for our industry, mm-hmm. for the United States and really globally. It's become a much more global show than it ever has.
Isn't it
super exciting? Yeah. And of course it's at Disneyland. So we're in Anaheim, which is great.
Yeah. That's a big bonus. And you know, weather around that time of the year can still be very, very hot here.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. I think some people are not prepared sometimes for how warm it is in mid-October in Anaheim, but it can be very toasty. And really after that, there's still a lot of travel, but I think the biggest thing is that in December, Northwest Horticulture, which is for our industry, the tree fruit industry up in the Pacific Northwest, they help us with like legislative components of our industry, and they do a lot of training and safety, and they have a really fantastic conference. And this year we will be in the very wintry Wenatchee.
Right.
And actually that's the week after we will be in New York at the New York Produce Show, and which will lead into World Pear Day, which is December 6th this year.
December 6th. Okay. I'm going to remember that. Celebrate that.
The Saturday. First Saturday in December. You don't have to remember the date. Just first Saturday in December and you'll never miss it.
Well, you have been absolutely, I mean, the time is just flowing by, chock full of information about all the different varieties, the takeaways, the consumer promotions that you're going to be doing. And this big announcement, I will be there at your booth. And that's still a little bit of a mystery. We'll find out the number and announce that in the coming weeks before the show. So it's really been fantastic to be here with you. If you have any closing comments or anything you'd like to mention to people about the shows or to meet you.
You know, we're very excited. We certainly have some pretty fun activities happening in the booth this year that we would like everybody to see. And it is a new booth. We're kind of known for the pears hanging from the ceiling. We promise we're bringing them back. They're just new ones. But, you know, for me, I think IFPA is a great time to see the people in the industry. And certainly there's obviously a lot of time connecting. You see more hugs at this trade show than I think any other trade show in any industry anywhere.
Yeah.
Because we're a pretty friendly bunch, the produce industry.
We are.
We really are.
We're always so, everyone is so busy, especially being in the industry as long as we have been. There's been shifting around. So it's a chance for us to see a lot of our friends that we started with years ago and catch up with them, see what's going on in their lives. I love
it. I do too. I do too.
Big ones.
And if I could make a plug for any one thing, it would be if you haven't registered for the 5K for the Foundation for Fresh Produce, it's time to get your tennis shoes on because I am on that board. I love the event. I think it's great. It's super early in the morning, so it makes you behave the night before or not, but it helps. But it is great. It's a great way to do a fundraiser while you're at a trade show and hang with your friends.
And what day is it? Is it Friday
or
Saturday?
It is Friday before the show opens. So yeah. It's dark 30. I can't remember exactly what time. I think like 6.
Whoa. Okay.
But it is 5K when it's
sounds
cooler.
Good.
But all that money goes to a great cause and it's a 501c3. So it is a charitable donation.
Well, here you've heard it, everyone. Go ahead and sign up. Look for Carrie Ann at the trade shows, either at Fruit Attraction in Madrid this week or an IFPA, and I will be there too. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up. There's always a lot more. We're going to catch up with you again later, Carrie Ann. But for now, it has been my pleasure to have you join us today. And as we say here at the Produce Industry Podcast, we will see you in the pear orchards in Oregon or on the horizon somewhere in Europe over the next week or so. Thank you so much, Carrie-Anne.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Galio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.